Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, I'm fresh off a visit to the Blitz with Fred and AJ. Now, I said to Tyler Scott just before coming on here with Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, I said, "Man, that was bad." And he says, Tyler says, "That shows your human side." That is very interesting, Tyler. Yes, most humans, yeah. I was booking a guest in the restroom, and Fred was eavesdropping on me, I think. I think he was trying to get something else.
Maybe he was stalking.
I think he was eavesdropping on me. You got to learn a lesson when you come in here on Fred and AJ's show, and you don't get prepped. John was also in on it. I think these guys see me as a very easy target. Don't they? Don't you think they see me as an easy target, Tyler?
No.
No?
They'd like to share laughs with you, though.
That's good. Well, I have a sense of humor, right? I think I get a bad
rap. Exactly, yeah.
People don't think I have a sense of humor. I actually do. I can make fun of myself. I can assure you that. All right. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's get after it tonight here. 713-780-3776 is a number. See how serious I just got? 713-780-3776. All right, we got a number of things to talk about here tonight. We can talk about the United States women's national team. They are in action against Colombia tomorrow night. That game is on Fox. Sunday, it'll be on ESPN. I have the pleasure of calling that one with Julie Foudy. But we do know that there's a lot going on with the women. And the U.S. women are demanding pay parity right now. Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan, Hope Solo, Megan Rapinoe, Becky Sauerbrunn, all standing out in front of the media. U.S. Soccer is responding, citing figures that showed the men's national team produced revenue and attendance about double that of the women's team. There's a lot of numbers out here. I don't know what's the truth or what isn't. I think that's where we have to certainly be careful. What we do know is this, that some of these revenue figures being jumped around could be inaccurate. They could be misleading or both. But gender pay gaps, this is hot button right now. This is the time for the women to certainly do that. And look, if the women are generating more revenue, I think like everybody else, believe they should be getting paid more. They deserve a bigger slice of the pie. I don't think there's any question. There's some differences, though, with the things going on, and we will talk about that tonight. But I don't think anybody's in any shape or form not thinking that the women don't deserve more if, in fact, all those other, you know, revenue streams, bigger crowds, ticket sales, corporate sponsorship, they're generating more money. They deserve more money. I think that's without a doubt what it is. What I don't like is the pitting of male against female. I don't like that. But you can weigh in on this tonight. The women will take on Colombia Wednesday, Colombia Sunday. This is all in preparation for the Olympics. Only 12 teams in the Olympics, so the U.S. women have another chance at winning it all. And by the way, this is almost like another World Cup because at the Olympics, on the women's side, it's full national teams. On the men's side, it's under 23 teams. We can talk about that tonight. Abby Wambach also sadly got picked up for a DUI. Too bad. Sorry to see that. Owned up to it. All credit to her. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight if you want. 713-780-3776. The Leicester City dream continues. Lionel Messi brought up in the Panama Papers leak. We've got some wonderful tweets of the week here tonight. And men's national team players reacting to Abby Wambach's arrest. I don't think there was a lot in this. I don't think these guys were trying to discredit anybody. Probably not a great move to do it on Twitter. Was it really that harmful? I don't know. Maybe there's something. I don't know. Alejandro Bedoya said after this this incident that I think Alejandro said he referenced Wambach's stance against the U.S. use of foreign players by U.S. soccer and tweeted that Wambach's arrest must have been a foreign American player's fault. You remember that Abby Wambach had mentioned something when she was retiring about Jurgen Klinsmann using German Americans who, you know, generally were military, you know, American parent, German parent. What's wrong with that? I don't understand, you know, when a woman like Abby, who's so wonderfully stood for women, for gay women, for gay rights, I don't know why she would take that stance, especially when she was retiring. That was a little bit strange to me, because every single team in the world on the men's side, they go all over the world scouring, looking for dual nationality players. That's why we see Brazilians representing Russia. So anyway, I hope everything works out well for her. The U.S. Women's National Team is a team in transition, and it is changing. And we'll talk a little bit about that here tonight as well. Today, Barcelona come from behind, down 1-0 to Atletico Madrid. Two goals from Luis Suarez. Clearly, one of the top four players in the world for me. Is he in the top four for you? 713-780-3776. Dynamo Seattle, they are coming up as well. It's a nationally broadcasted game on Sunday. It will be on ESPN2. It will follow the U.S. Women's National Team against Colombia from Talon Stadium in Chester, Pennsylvania. And I myself am heading up there early. My father's 90th birthday. How about that? World War II veteran. Going to make sure I'm there for that. And that's a big family moment. That is for sure. Copa Centenario, again, a reminder. And that comes on the heels of what is been an amazing 5 days here in Houston. I don't think there's any question. The city of Houston shined. Everybody involved in putting on the NCAA tournament shined. We got an epic game in the final. Villanova wins it. Now, here's what, and look, I don't profess to know basketball, but a couple of things stood out to me. When they blew out Oklahoma, I saw that this was truly a team. I also was very enamored with the way they emotionally stayed grounded after that game. They shot the lights out, 71%, I think, over Oklahoma. But what stood out to me over this weekend, and again was exemplified and validated in the final, was college guys and college players. Just that wonderful purity that the college game brings. You know, in a day and age where sports is so dominated now, even within the context of a team, by individuals and social media, and, you know, athletes know the value of social media and so-called branding. This was just so refreshing to see two teams with players on the same page, two wonderfully respected coaches. It was so healthy for basketball. Basketball, I saw somebody tweet out, college basketball was a big winner, and they were right. It was just spectacular. I'm still buzzing from that game. And, you know, when you watch so many NBA games, it just seemed to have little consequence. And the players over the course of a long season, some matches and games are going to be going through the motions. Whether we want to believe that or not, it's the truth. Sometimes the body can't do it, or you're thinking guys are worried about where they're going out after the game. It was so refreshing last night. So refreshing. 713-780-3776. Love the team aspect of that. Guests on the show tonight. Extensive interview tonight. We're going to probably do about 17, 18 minutes with Carly Lloyd of the U.S. Women's National Team. I just want to forewarn you, this was an interview that was done prior to a lot of what is going on now in the media with, you know, the Women's National Team demanding pay parity. And, you know, why wouldn't they? I mean, they're in a year that it's just blown out of the water for them. Winning the World Cup in the way they did, the bigger crowds, the ticket sales, the post-game tour, the corporate sponsorship. Guess you got to hit one of the irons hot. Again, I don't like seeing it be turned into a male-female thing, but I think that's the way it's going to be positioned. And if you're basing it on 1 year, this last year for the U.S. women, they are the shining stars right now of of U.S. soccer. No men's team going to the Olympics. Men stumbling a little bit in Guatemala. Have responded with a 4-0 win. But to compare it all straight up sometimes doesn't make sense. And again, all these revenue figures that are out there, I'm not sure everybody's got a grip on that. But gender pay, it's important. Things should be fair. I don't think there's any question. Sponsorship, TV contracts, all of this plays into it. Now, the women currently elected in their last collective bargaining agreement, 24 players to accept job security. And when I say job security, those 24 players took contracts of $72,000 a year from U.S. Soccer. This is my understanding. 24 players got that because they wanted security. So it's a little different on the men's side. You got to make the team, and then you get paid if you participate in friendlies, and they play about 20 friendlies a year. So the payment and bonus structure is a little bit different. And then the women also from U.S. Soccer, again, get paid for being in the NWSL beyond that $72,000. So it's a pretty interesting dilemma. It's very complicated. I'm all about paying people fairly and based on what they bring in. Now, U.S. Soccer is going to say, look, we've been the forerunners of women's soccer globally. We are the ones that started it. We are the ones that have pushed it through the performances of this 1999 team, which was spectacular. Yes, they won the World Cup against China. Even bigger, they spurred women on around the world not to be in fear of being in competitive athletics. And what we've seen now is, as we fast forward to last year's Women's World Cup in Canada, we have seen a lot of countries accelerating the development process and growing very, very quickly, albeit Colombia, who the U.S. women will play on Wednesday and Sunday. We've seen soccer-playing nations. You look at France, and there's some similarities with the French style of football that the men play. Brazil. These great countries are picking up on the women's game as well. So the women's game has gotten – it gets more competitive every year. It's pretty spectacular. 713-780-3776. Hey, Chelsea fans, well, you've got Antonio Conte. He's fiery. He's got some similarities to Jose Mourinho. He's a current coach of Italy. He'll take over Chelsea after the European Championships, former Juventus coach. And that's interesting. Conte wanted to bring in 12 members sort of a staff that he wanted to create, and I think Chelsea denied that because Chelsea doesn't want a complete takeover. They want to still make sure that they can maintain some control. So I'd expect half of that maybe to come with Conte. But managers come in, they have desires, they have things they want to do. Again, here is a coach that's committed to someone else, and he's managing Italy. Probably a little bit different than Pep Guardiola getting, publicized that he's moving on to Man City while still the coach of Bayern Munich, while still in the Champions League. Bayern Munich got a 1-0 win today over Benfica of Portugal. I can't stand that. I mean, could that ever happen here, Tyler, in American sports where a coach has already said he's committed and he's signing with another team? There's rumors of the guy talking to other players about bringing them there whilst still coaching his team in league play. It would never happen here in the United States. There would be lawsuits.
It kind of has.
Give me an example.
I think at the beginning of this season, Luke Walton was an interim coach for the Golden State Warriors, and he was – I don't know if he was being actively pursued or not, but, I mean, they were giving him the option of going out and interviewing for – a coaching position.
Right, but he didn't take a job to terms with somebody and say, look, I'm going to remain coaching here as an interim coach, but I'm going to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I don't think...
How does that
pretty
affect...
much any American sports would operate like that, because it's definitely a conflict of interest.
Yeah,
if they're in the same division, whatnot, so...
Yeah, just after Christmas. So here's the scenario that happened with Guardiola. Everybody wants him. He's the prime coaching choice in the world right now. He's coaching at Bayern Munich. And whatever happened with Bayern Munich, they couldn't come to terms. Either Guardiola wanted to leave or Bayern didn't give him what he wanted, or who knows. But ultimately, Bayern Munich, you know, the announcement's made, Guardiola's going to Man City. Bayern Munich hires Carlo Ancelotti and says he's going to be our manager next year, another high-profile guy. But, you know, here you got a guy coaching now for a couple months, still trying to win a league title. They're in the Champions League, one of the biggest clubs in the world. And there's this chatter that he's already meeting and spending time and energy thinking about what he's going to do with Manchester City. Seems bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I don't like it as a fan.
Compute.
Yeah, I don't like it as a fan. 713-780-3776. Leicester City does it again. And why do they do it? It's pretty simple. And I wouldn't compare them to Villanova, but in one way I do, the way they press the ball. Leicester City is making history. You know, I would love to find a Leicester City fan here in Houston. 713-780-3776. Leicester City is making history. They win again 1-0. They are winning games sometimes when they don't play their best. One thing that never fails to appear when Leicester City plays, and that is a work ethic. And names like Drinkwater, Conte, Mahrez, Vardy, Robert Huth have become more commonplace because of what Leicester City is doing. And it is pretty spectacular. They've won three straight games with 1-0 score lines, and they now have a 7-point lead over Tottenham Hotspur. Spurs ending up in a draw this past weekend. Pretty incredible. Okay, how about a few tweets of the day? And a lot of these go to the NCAA championships. Robbie Rogers of the LA Galaxy, dang, hashtag NCAA championships. At Darlington Nagby of the Portland Timbers, quote, what a shot, hashtag NCAA championships. At Nick Raimondo, Real Salt Lake, quote, what a game, basketball, you won tonight. At Ethan Finley of the Columbus Crew, just had a call up to the U.S. national team. Quote, one of the greatest games finishes ever. Agree completely. And then at Shannon Williams, Houston Dynamo, quote, love Texas, but my God, some of the worst drivers I've ever come across, hands down. Agree with that, Tyler? We got the worst drivers?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
And why is that?
Well, according to Fred, they're listening to their headphones. I've seen a lot of people on their phones, and baffling to me that people think that they can drive and
looking at their phone,
tweet,
Twitter,
text message, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm guilty of it too, but I think I'm a better driver than some of these other idiots on the road.
Well, there's no law against it. That's why, you know, when I fly into New Jersey, you don't mess with a phone anywhere, or you'll get fined, and you'll get fined pretty heavily. I don't know why that hasn't occurred down here. The thing that worries me is the bikers. The bikers who are doing, like, going on Memorial, around Memorial Park, and, I mean, they're out there in rush hour. And, I mean, I just cringe when I'm there. I mean, I don't want to go there sometimes because I don't want to see these guys out there, because if every other person is looking down at their phone, and they're flying through there.
Oh, yeah.
They're flying through there.
Like, I just don't want
to see it.
I used to live over kind of on the edge of downtown, and I would ride my bike up Allen Parkway to Memorial Park. But since I moved over here, I won't even get on my bike on Westheimer just because I'm going to get run over. Yeah,
you'd like to live. Well, that's the way I do it. I get over to Allen Parkway, you know, not having to use a lot of roads. There's one intersection that you got to be awake, but you can't jump on your bike now and be, you know, half into it.
No.
Your brain has to be turned on. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Got some Copa Centenario talk for you. We want to remind you that the Gorgeous Gale in Bar Munich, these are two great spots for watching great games. The Gorgeous Gale is over in West University. It's an Irish pub, Liverpool hangout over there. But they show all the Dynamo games as well. Bar Munich in downtown. I went down there and caught the Real Madrid Barcelona game. I'd love to get some thoughts from you on Real Madrid and Barcelona. I caught it at Bar Munich, ran into a lot of great soccer fans down there. My thanks to the Gorgeous Gale and Bar Munich. 7-Up, Amigo Energy, Danish Inspirations, Adaspit Law Firm, and the Copa Centenario. Oh, and HoustonDynamo.com for your Seattle Sounders tickets.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. A couple of things to remind you. Copa Centenario is, you know, basically, we just came off this amazing NCAA tournament this weekend, but we have another amazing event coming. And I'll tell you what, even if you are someone that is a general sports fan, this is something for you to go to. This is a Copa America Centenario here in the United States in 2016. It's the 100th year anniversary of the Copa America, which basically is a tournament. It's just like a World Cup, but it determines the champion of South America. Now, why it's important? Well, because we all know how many important South American soccer-playing nations there are in the history of the sport, whether it's Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Paraguay, Uruguay, on and on we go. But in addition to those teams, you got the United States, you got Mexico, and you got a couple other teams from CONCACAF here. It's in cities all over the United States. But guess what? Houston, Texas gets it, and we're hosting it. And you can get tickets at www.ca2016.com. So Energy Stadium is going to host Colombia and Costa Rica. So you got Colombia with Jaime Rodriguez, huge star, Cuadron. You got Costa Rica, the Ticos coming, Keylor Navas in goal, Joel Campbell, a whole bunch of players that are playing overseas. So it's star-studded. Then you got Mexico and Venezuela. Mexico taking on the Vino Tinto. El Tri against the Vino Tinto, June 13th. Colombia, Costa Rica, June 11th. Mexico, Venezuela, June 13th. And then a semifinal, June 21st. So you're going to see some monster teams here on the 21st. Again, you get your tickets at ca2016.com. There's some word that Neymar's not going to be able to play for Brazil, according to Barcelona, who doesn't want to loan him out for both the Copa Centenario and the Olympics. My gut tells me you're going to see Neymar here in the United States. But, you know, it's Lionel Messi of Argentina, David Luiz, Jaime Rodriguez, Chicharito of Mexico, Michael Bradley, the U.S. in this at a time where the U.S. really needs to produce a good performance as the host country. So Copa Centenario, don't miss it. If you're a general sports fan, I'd love for you to go because I think it's going to be amazing. 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. Are you going to the Copa Centenario? Do you have thoughts on today's Barcelona, 2-1 come from behind victory over Atletico Madrid. Luis Suarez getting two in that. Top four in the world for me, hands down, Luis Suarez. You saw what happened when he left Liverpool. Could not continue the style of play under Brendan Rodgers that he helped certainly be the focal point of. These strikers in the modern game that work when the ball is lost, the Jamie Vardys, the Luis Suarez's, it is so difficult to be a defender against these guys because you never get a chance to breathe. You can't collect yourself. And your antennas have to be up all the time. Even when the ball's 60 yards away, if you're not mentally in tune with where you are in relation to the ball positionally and that player, in a blink of an eye, you can be abused and used. 713-780-3776, again, is the number. So Real Madrid gets a 2-1 win over Barcelona. And I think it was the Gareth Bale goal that Fred Fowler was talking about being called back. So I don't know if you saw this. I watched the game down at Bayern Munich on Louisiana. Great spot. Real Madrid beats Barcelona at Barcelona. Huge, amazingly emotional goodbye to deceased club icon Johan Cruyff. And the final Clásico of the year against Real Madrid. And I think it pains Barcelona not to have gotten a result, especially against Real Madrid, on a night where they were honoring what Johan Cruyff has done for that club, essentially instituting their player development system, coaching them. All these guys you see, Luis Enrique, Pep Guardiola, all out of the Cruyff school. So they lose 2-1. Gerard Piqué got the opener. Barcelona had a 39-game unbeaten streak in all competitions. Karim Benzema getting one to tie it. And then Cristiano Ronaldo, who, by the way, really didn't do a lot in this game, except win him the game. So I guess he did a lot. And the irony is, I'm talking to some friends of mine, and I'm going, boy, Ronaldo's been quiet. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets the game winner. And like 7 minutes later, there he is. Giant banner or display by the fans. I don't know if they hold up these colored sheets of paper. It said, Gracias, Johan. It was fantastic, and it had his number 14 up there as well. You can see it online. I think I put it up on Facebook Soccer Matters. Cruyff died at 68. We talked about it on the last show, lung cancer. Barcelona had a lot of the play, but truly you have to credit Real Madrid. They kept their lines tight, kept a little bit better emotional control. They made it uncomfortable. I don't think Barcelona was particularly sharp. And I was real interested today. I watched them in the Champions League against Atletico Madrid. So you got to turn it around from Saturday to Tuesday. And you're talking maximum intensity, concentration, pressure type games. So you'll get 3 days rest. And now you're playing Atletico Madrid, who go up 1-0. And then you respond, you get two goals from Luis Suarez, and you're breathing a little easier. I do think there is some fatigue setting in now, which is going to be telling for Messi, Neymar, and Suarez, because they were all in South America on international duty as well. And again, that has to be factored into all these games. We see it locally with the Houston Dynamo last year. It's not an excuse, but it has to be factored in. Earlier in the season, it was 4-0 Barcelona over Real Madrid. Lionel Messi had an amazing chip that Costa Rican goalkeeper Keylor Navas, incredible footwork going backwards, parried over the bar. Suarez had an early miss in this one, which could have changed the entire game. In fact, whiffed, didn't even make contact. But I thought Real Madrid was tight. They kept their lines tight. They made it difficult for Barcelona, as difficult as you can make it for them. Barcelona was pulling them apart and did have their sort of rhythmic movement and passing going. But it just didn't seem totally sharp. It did at times. Rakitic had a great shot as well that I think was denied. Two to one, Real Madrid. I say deserved winners. And for all of you that think I'm, I do love Barcelona. I love their style. I love the Cruyff connection. Generally, I will pull for them over Real Madrid. I watch Real Madrid when they're not playing Barcelona because I want to watch Ronaldo. I want to watch Benzema. I want to watch all the great players on their team as well. Gareth Bale. And his goal probably should have counted. 713-780-3776 is the number. So you get this Bedoya and Altidore mock Wambach. These guys, not for one second do I think they're making fun of anybody under the influence, driving under the influence and alcohol and driving. I think this was more being silly and not being smart on Twitter, and it's not going to lead to good stuff. Bedoya just took a shot at Wambach saying at Fox Soccer must have been a foreign American player's fault. That in reference to Abby Wambach's comments, which were bizarre in nature because she was retiring. It should have been all about her and her excitement and her history and honoring not only herself but her teammates and the infrastructure and the growth of the game. And somehow in some interview she's being led into questioning about the U.S. men's national team. And she says that, you know, why is Jurgen Klinsmann bringing in German Americans? Well, because they have an American parent and it's generally military. Why shouldn't he? Just didn't make sense. And then Josie Altidore weighed in at Alejandro Bedoya. Should have used one of the team vans. LOL. That in reference to the joyride that Hope Solo took with, what's her husband's name? Football players. Interesting cat.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank.
Jeremy something. Yeah. Anyway. And I think maybe what's deeper in that is that, you know, Hope Solo's been given a lot of passes. And U.S. soccer could have made an example of her if they had wanted to.
Jeremy Stevens is
Jeremy Hope Stevens, Solo's husband. Yeah, Hope Solo's. You know, she's been a pretty fortunate woman, I think. And she's been given passes, and I think that's what people see sometimes. And that's probably why Josie Altidore did the van thing. I think it was all harmless. But in the end, it's not smart, and it's not the climate to be doing that. So probably wrong. But back to Abby Wambach, U.S. soccer had the choice, if they wanted to make an example. But she's also the number one goalkeeper in the world, and they probably didn't want to risk that because that's part of winning a World Cup. It's just the way it is these days. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. All right, and another quick word here for the Copa America Centenario at Energy Stadium. We've got here in Houston, Colombia, Costa Rica, June 11th. We're going to have people flying over all over the world coming in for this. Mexico, Venezuela, June 13th. The semifinal is June 21st. The Copa America Centenario. We had the trophy in here. You had your picture with it, Tyler?
I did. It was pretty cool.
Pretty amazing.
A lot of history there.
100-year-old tournament. It'll be held in the United States. This is going to be the biggest thing from the 1994 World Cup. You can get your tickets for the Copa Centenario. And I'm going to get David Fletcher and Jamie Roots on. We'll talk some more with them at some point, maybe next week, about the Copa Centenario as we get closer to this. It's going to be exciting. I'm seeing stuff being written about it now. And it's just going to be a real celebration around the United States for the global game. Get your tickets for the Copa Centenario here in Houston. Again, Colombia, Costa Rica, June 11th. Mexico, Venezuela, June 13th. Semifinal, June 21st. CA2016.com. Now, as we go to break, I've got a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Seattle Sounders. You can see Clint Dempsey in town. He's on fire. He scored for the U.S. the opener against Guatemala in World Cup qualifying. He scored in the Sounders 1-0 win this past weekend. And he's hot. He's coming to BBVA Compass Stadium. Next game for the Houston Dynamo this Sunday. Dynamo Seattle Sounders. Sixth caller right now gets a pair of tickets for that match that kicks off at 2:45 this Sunday down at the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium. Sixth caller at 713-780-ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Nothing better than coming back with the Black Keys. DaspitLaw.com, they are personal injury attorneys. They have a personalized approach. 713-588-0383, bilingual. They treat every case as if it is their own. If you're under duress, car, boat, motorcycle, industrial accident, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler and on, it is DaspitLaw.com. Get to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They will treat your case as if it is their own. They work 24-7, nights and weekends, and they fight for your right for compensation. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-780-3776. Phone lines absolutely blowing up, giving out those Dynamo Seattle tickets. And then the Dynamo will take on the LA Galaxy. This is a very big two-game home set. Your thoughts now on the Houston Dynamo, 713-780-3776. Now, as much as we talk about this new attacking style, and I don't think there's any question, this is a more interesting, entertaining, exciting team now. There's more risk and commitment. There's more competition positionally. But you got a two-game home set now with Seattle. It's coming off their first win after three losses. And then you got the LA Galaxy, who are 2-1-1. These are two star-studded measuring sticks in Major League Soccer. There's a bit of pressure on the Dynamo right now. You can only talk so long about the 11 goals in three games, an MLS record to start the season. To be fair, the Dynamo were hard done not to take at least a point on the road. Miranda smashing one off the crossbar, his best game ever for the Dynamo, in my opinion. Ricardo Clark hitting a post. So what do we see this weekend? Do we see potentially Shannon Williams coming back into the right back position? I would think we see Raul Rodriguez continuing on, David Horst, DeMarcus Beasley as a back four. Now here's the question. How do you get Boniac Garcia into the lineup? So you, the Dynamo fan right now, in this segment sponsored by HoustonDynamo.com, it's where you get your tickets to the Dynamo Seattle, Dynamo LA coming up. Both those games, national broadcast, but get down to the stadium. You play manager right now. Ricardo Clark in midfield. Alex has been starting next to Ricardo Clark. Giles Barnes, we are expecting to be back in the starting lineup. Had some time to get healthy with the hamstring. Did not play for Jamaica. Andrew Wenger on the right, who was ill in the last game. That affected his game. Maidana at the top of that four set. And then up front, Will Bruin. Now, Boniac Garcia comes back from Honduras scoring a spectacular goal. Do you save him to spell Maidana in a playmaking role? Do you start him? And if you start him, where do you start him if you're a Dynamo fan? Where do you start Boniac Garcia? Next to Ricardo Clark as a holding midfielder, Alex has performed quite well. Out wide, Giles Barnes is coming back and Andrew Wenger. Boniac has been very successful off the bench in a subs role twice. And then he got the start as a playmaker in the absence of Maidana and performed wonderful there as well. So, where would you put Oscar Boniac Garcia? This is what you call, and I've mentioned this to a number of people, this is a champagne problem. Intense competition. I don't think Boniac Garcia is going to want to be a jack of all trades coming off the bench. But then again, boy, that's a nice guy to know that you have coming off the bench as well. And again, there's going to be a plenty of opportunity for people to start this year. There was no such thing as a starting 11 in Major League Soccer based on the amount of games. It goes all over the place. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Again, 713-780-3776 to call in. Nathan, you are up. What's up, Nathan? How are you? Nathan, you're on, yeah, you're on the air, Nathan. How are you? Nathan, you're on the air. Turn your radio down. Okay.
Yeah, how you doing, Glenn?
Yeah, good, Nathan. How are you? What's on your mind?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say quickly on probably working Boniac back into Atlanta. Like you said, I know Alex has been doing good, which I wouldn't attempt to change it at all, but I mean, maybe we could see how Boniac will line up with Rico and see how that would go. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to move the ball a little bit quicker with having him in that deeper role and, you know, linking up with Chago and being able to get it out to Barnes and Bruin. I think that would be good. But I definitely agree. You know, I had read your Facebook article about, you know, the champagne problem. But I think it's a good situation, you know, that Owen Call has all of these guys coming back healthy and, you know, having these options to deal with, so going forward, so we can, you know, probably get some more wins. But
I don't think we've seen this competition, Nathan, for playing time and spots in a long, long time.
Well, Glenn, I just wanted to say I greatly appreciate you taking my call, and you guys keep up the great work, and I'll continue tuning in.
All right. Thank you very much, Nathan. So 713-780-3776. So Nathan, I think, put in a vote there for maybe Boniek Garcia in a starting role next to Ricardo Clark. Alex has looked good this year. He's healthy. Maybe you don't switch too many things up. I have a feeling Shannon Williams might get back in the lineup because the Dynamo need to get him involved as well. It's possible he could replace Jahlil Anibaba. Giles Barnes expected to get the start. But, you know, there's still a number of days left here in training. There are two very important games. You do have the luxury of Boniek Garcia plugging in as a wide midfielder, a holding midfielder, and even as a playmaker. I mean, pretty much can play anywhere in midfield for you and could probably play right back. That versatility, a very important thing for the Houston Dynamo. 713-780-3776. Quick note here, Cesare Maldini, that's Paolo Maldini's father. Now, this was a graceful central defender in his day. It was before my time, but this is all from reading and hearing testimony about him. Cesare Maldini passed away. He's the father of Paolo Maldini. But you remember back in 2002, he took over Paraguay in the World Cup. It's pretty interesting. Nobody expected him to come out of Europe and go to Paraguay and run that team. So sad to hear of his passing. And what I loved was everybody that spoke about him said he was a real gentleman. Players he coached, players he played with, people that dealt with him, all talking about what a gentleman he was. So there's a guy who's successful. He's a competitor. And in the same sentence, people put in the word gentleman, which can mean a lot of things. 713-780-3776, again, is the number here to call in tonight. Now, we've seen some interesting, funny things going on in the world of soccer. It might be time. You know what, Tyler? Do we have football funnies? Yeah, let's try that. I think we need to break this into our audience. So each and every week, we're going to come up with something that's funny that goes on in the world of soccer, football, globally. So we call it football funnies. And we'll take your thoughts on that each and every week. But we've got a good one this week, and I think we're ready for Football Funnies. So here's a debut of Football Funnies.
It's time for Football Funnies.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
He knocked that ball with his head. Is that legal?
I don't understand why.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Why?
All right, this is some funny stuff. Leicester City's Christian Fuchs wants to be an NFL kicker. He's got a backup plan if the professional soccer career doesn't pan out. Leicester City are having a great season, so I don't think Fuchs is going to look for any other options, but he's talked about being a kicker in the NFL. In an interview with Sky Sports, he said, "I have this ambition to be an NFL kicker. If NFL managers want a footballer in their team, I know I can kick a 60-yard field goal. Let's see if you don't dream, you won't achieve anything." Well, that's a football funny to me. That is a dream. A little bit different kicking a football under pressure through uprights than it is being a soccer player. Not to say that it can't happen. But that's our first edition of Football Funnies. Christian Fuchs wanting to be an NFL kicker. It's always interesting when you see athletes try to go to other sports. And we talked about that with Chad Ochocinco. By the way, I got to get Ochocinco on. He was at the Real Madrid-Barcelona game, and I'm sure he's happy because his good friend Cristiano Ronaldo got the game winner. So maybe next week we can get Chad Johnson back on, and he can tell us what it was like to be at the game live and in person, Real Madrid and Barcelona. A couple of things before we break here in this first hour. Coming up in the second hour, Root Sports Analyst, my partner on the TV, Eddie Robinson will join us. Eddie and I are going to banter about on a number of different products. Not products. What am I talking about? You know, every time I bring Eddie's name up, it's I think food, I think seasoning, I think barbecuing, which probably is what he'll be doing. Not products. We're going to banter about a number of different topics and subjects, both MLS and Europe. Oscar Boniek-Garcia will join me on the show tonight. We'll have a translator, Edgar Valise, and that Boniek-Garcia interview brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets for the Dynamo Seattle and LA coming up, HoustonDynamo.com. Interesting interview with Boniek-Garcia. I'm going to ask him about the goal he scored for Honduras, why he seems to be in such good form this year, the new attacking style of the Dynamo, and also we'll talk to him about the tragic loss of his teammate for Honduras, Arnold Peralta, who was killed in cold blood in broad daylight. Absolutely tragic in Honduras, shot down in broad daylight. So we'll talk to Boniek-Garcia, and then we finish it up with a long interview with Carly Lloyd. And there's a lot of interesting things with Carly of the Houston Dash and the U.S. Women's National Team. This is ahead of their matches against Colombia. So that's all coming up in the second hour. We go a little bit more interview format. We remind you that we always have our podcasts up at podcastarena.com and iTunes. And you can also check out Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. We'll take a break. It is more of the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed, coming up in hour number two here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.